Lord, as we have read and heard from your holy word this morning, the temptation of Jesus, one of the best examples of his pure humanity. Lord, we know that he was tempted in all ways, but did not sin. Lord, we wish we could claim that for ourselves as well, but we know that we are tempted every day. And Lord, we just pray that in these moments that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us and strengthen us for our daily living. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
When we watch the Olympics, we see some pretty astonishing things. Isn't it interesting how we can watch someone do an amazing feat and maybe even think, especially if we were a little younger, he made that look so easy. I bet I can do that too, or I could have done that too if we think we're too old. Only to find out that what was easy for one is almost impossible for others to do at that level. As one person has wisely observed, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. And let's face it, we all have a fascination with temptation. Because each and every one of us is tempted in each and every day of our lives in one way or another, in the choices that we make about how we spend our money, how we spend our time, and how we live our lives. The lectionary, which is a schedule of scripture readings that is organized so that the majority of the Bible is read over a three-year period. It's often used also in preaching, so that over a course of 3 years, congregations would get most of hearing from the Bible. I don't strictly adhere to the lectionary, but many pastors do. But anyways, explaining what the lectionary is, it assigns the narrative about the temptation of Jesus as one of the readings on the first Sunday of Lent each year. Whether we read from Matthew, Mark, or Luke, the message is the same. The tempter is attempting to get Jesus to take a shortcut, or many shortcuts. Jesus has emerged from the shadows to publicly begin his mission that God planned for him. He has been baptized, declared by a voice from heaven as the Son of God, the one in whom God is well pleased, the one to whom all should listen. And Jesus knows that God, his heavenly Father, sent him to be the Messiah, but not a military Messiah that would use excessive force to liberate the Jews from their oppression under the Romans. Instead, Jesus would be the suffering servant who was foretold by the prophet Isaiah. As a matter of fact, within a very short period of time, Jesus would tell his disciples that accomplishing his mission would include suffering, rejection, persecution, and ultimately lead to his death. But the tempter offers Jesus an alternative. He advises Jesus to follow plan B that would help him accomplish the mission of drawing people to God's cause without all the pain and suffering of plan A. So I want us this morning to look at how he operates. The devil offers Jesus temptations, which seem on the surface harmless enough. They are certainly not temptations to do evil. The devil is just encouraging Jesus to take the easy road in order to show the world that he really is the Son of God. So I want us to take a few moments to look at these harmless temptations. Command this stone to become a loaf of bread. That's temptation number one. It's not a bad idea, really. If we think about it, a lot of good could come from such a move. It would remind the Jewish people of how God fed their ancestors in the desert with manna and help them see Jesus as God's promised Messiah. What's inherently wrong with feeding the hungry? What's inherently wrong with feeding the hungry anyway? Why would Jesus reject this? Isn't it a good thing to do? Isn't God concerned with the hungry people of this world? And we can just hear the tempter saying, Jesus, you've got the gift. Put your miraculous powers to good use here and transform this barren tract of land into a booming bakery. Take a shortcut. We move on to the second temptation because Jesus says no to the first one. The second temptation, worship me, says the devil, and to you I will give all authority over all the earthly kingdoms. In other words, if you don't do it God's way, you're not in charge. I'm sorry, if you do it God's way, you're not in charge. You're not in charge. If you do it God's way, you're not in charge, Jesus. I will be dogging you, the devil says, all the way, every step of the way, making life miserable for you. Instead, why not make a compromise? Sign right here on the dotted line, and I'll leave you alone forever. No one else needs to know that you are in cahoots with me. I'll make your life easy for you. What do you say, Jesus? Take a shortcut. But Jesus said no. So then the devil comes up with a wonderful plan as he takes Jesus to the top of the Jerusalem temple. The temple was the focal point of the Jewish faith. It was a crowded place where people would not miss any action going on there. Jesus, throw yourself down from here and let God perform a dramatic rescue. The third temptation. After all, didn't God promise to break your fall by sending angels to provide you with a safety net? Imagine the publicity this stunt would generate. You can accelerate the process of accomplishing your mission incredibly by pulling off a big one right here now. Go for it. Jesus, take a shortcut. But Jesus says no. Do you see the point of these three examples, these three temptations, these harmless, quote-unquote, temptations could lead to Jesus being king of the world immediately and easily. No need of preaching to crowds on hillsides or by lakes. No healing of all those sick bodies. No teaching to those who seem not to understand. And most important of all, no cross to bear. It would have been the easy way out, and it would have led away from the cross and death. The temptation of Jesus was to choose another way, one that bypassed the cross. Just like Adam and Eve, all they had to do was to eat of that fruit, and they'd be like God, knowing good and evil. They could avoid all those years of learning and growing before reaching maturity. Imagine if someone came up to you, and when you were about entering grade 10, a little more than you, Naomi, but imagine somebody came up to you last year or the year before and said, I can get you straight into college if you want to. All you have to do is pay me a small fee, and you'll be there next year. It'll save you all the stress of assignments and exams. What a bonus. But the trouble is you'd be missing out on all the basic teaching that you need to understand when you get to college and those courses. You won't have the foundations. Well, that's what it was like for Adam and Eve. They wanted the shortcut. They wanted the short way. They jumped to graduate level before they even had done the preliminaries. God wanted them to take one step at a time, to obey God in a little thing, and to trust him. What Jesus had to do was to be obedient, first in these small ways, these temptations, but later on, obedient to going to the cross. This was a much harder route to follow, but it was the only route that would truly achieve what he had come to do. Have you ever tried to take a shortcut when you're traveling in a totally unfamiliar territory? If you happen to have been with your family, your spouse and children may have kept asking, are you sure you know where you're going? You answer confidently, "Oh yes, trust me. I know this shorter route. Imagine all the money we're going to save on gas when we shave off 100 miles. And now you're hoping and praying that there's a gas station up ahead very quickly where you can not only fill your tank, but also find out how to get out of the shortcut that you're on. Temptation proposes a shortcut, an easier way to reach our goals with a lower price tag, with less pain and self-sacrifice. Temptation always seems to offer a big prize for a small price, a kingdom for a mere bowing of the knee. But there is always a higher hidden cost. Temptation offers future rewards now. It trades the future for the present, pleasure for pain, and the seen for the unseen." So we talked a lot about Jesus today, but what about us? Do we not also face temptations to take shortcuts? Perhaps you've heard or even been lured by some of these phrases. No money down, easy monthly payments. They don't tell us that the payments go on past our lifetimes and into our grandchildren's lifetimes. Try breaking a lease and we'll find out. Another one. It's just a buck. Buy a ticket. Play the slots. You could win the big one this time. The next time you could get lucky. They don't tell us that we could get addicted big time and blow a fortune, not to mention wreck our marriage and even face criminal charges. One last one. Just try our fat cell eliminating elixir, our corpulence killing capsules. You don't need the pain of exercise. Why waste your money on health club memberships? Just take a pill, lie on the couch, and watch the calories burn as you feast your eyes on TV. They don't tell us about the possible side effects that which could mess up our life worse than we could ever imagine. You may remember a book and subsequent movie entitled The Last Temptation of Christ. The movie generated a lot of controversy when it was first released because Jesus imagines what life would be like had he chosen another way. In his coma-like dream, Jesus gets married, fathers many children, enjoys the company of friends, and works as a kindly carpenter until he is a white-bearded old man. The dream concludes as Jesus is confronted by his disciples. They were decrepit old men. Peter degenerated from a rock to a, quote, sponge full of holes, end quote. And the others were spiritless men with, quote, bloated bellies, dangling backsides, and double chins, end quote. Long ago, they had given up the fight, and their destiny shriveled into meaninglessness. In their company was an angry Judas who bellowed the truth about the uncrucified Christ. And he said, "Traitor, deserter, your place was on the cross. That's where the God of Israel put you to fight. But you got cold feet. And the moment death lifted its head, you couldn't get away fast enough." End quote. The rest of the disciples joined in the horrible nightmare. His life had been wasted, for he fell to temptation and avoided the cross. He chose an easier way, and it proved to be the way of failure. But we know that Jesus did not take the easy way. He took the way of the cross. So the closing pages of the book and scenes of the film, I believe, I don't remember exactly, find Jesus awakened to his nightmare to find himself on the cross. He is relieved to discover that his crucified state was only a miserable dream. The closing words of the last temptation of Christ lifts high the central feature of our faith, and I'm going to quote that here. Temptation had captured Jesus for a split second and led him astray. The joys, marriage, and children were lies. The decrepit, degraded old men who shouted coward, deserter, traitor at him were lies. All were illusions sent by the devil. His disciples were alive and thriving. They had gone over sea and land and were proclaiming the good news. Everything had turned out as it should. Glory be to God. He uttered a triumphant, "It is finished." It was as though he had said, "Everything has begun." Temptation is all around us. We don't have to go to the fictitious Temptation Island in order to find it. It's everywhere. We shop at Temptation Mart and go to Temptation University. We do our banking at Temptation Union and work at Temptation Inc. And we worship at the First Church of Temptation and surf Temptation Online and live on Temptation Avenue. Temptation is everywhere, and as much as anything, it is found within our own hearts. It can be subtle, so subtle we don't even realize that it is temptation. But it can be resisted, as Jesus did, by simply refusing to take shortcuts. May God's Spirit strengthen us to stay on that narrow path and not take the shortcuts that are continually attempting to lure us away from God's plan for us. And let's pray together. Loving God, your love for us is deep, holding strong even as we struggle for truth, even as we wander on other pathways, even as we are ready to give in to temptation. Walk with us this Lenten season and help us see beyond the flashy, beyond the smooth pitch, beyond the quick fix, beyond the shortcut. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus, who knew temptation, disappointment, and pain, yet remained faithful to you. Hold us in your grace through this Lenten season and for all time. Amen.